Joining us on the fan line, a good friend from draftheadquarters.com, Sean Zobel. Sean, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Kim, for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
We are really getting down to the wire. There are so many mock drafts out there. You do a great job with it. Folks need to go to draftheadquarters.com. You have just announced, though, who you think will be the number one pick, and it's a guy that I don't think anybody else has as the number one pick. Who is it and why?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, my number one prospect in this year's draft is Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle out of Auburn. He's a guy who physically compares to former Wisconsin tackle Joe Thomas when he was coming out in 2007, and obviously was the third overall pick. Now, depending on team needs with the top of the draft, he may not go first, but in terms of what he offers, he's as dominant of an offensive tackle that's entered the league in the last 7 to 8 years that I can remember. And physically, I mean, it's tough to say that a guy has Hall of Fame potential before he's even stepped foot in the league, but physically, he's as good as advertised, and I'd be shocked if he would fell out of the top three or four picks because he's that type of prospect that you can't afford to pass on.
Why is he so much better than, say, maybe a guy like an Eric Fisher or a Luke Jokel, the two guys that went high last year?
Well, the easy answer would be to say he's 6'5", 330 pounds. He has long arms. He ran a 4.9 with 32 reps on the bench. And okay. He can run the three cone well.
Hey, but I'm good. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, you know, this season, there is a reason why Auburn made it to the national championship game. And all season, people are trying to figure it out. Greg Robinson is one of the biggest reasons why. Whenever Auburn ran the ball to the left, it was a massive hole was always open. He physically dominated every player that he went up against. And unlike anybody else in this year's draft, he is that type of physical talent where he can dominate anything in his path. When you look at guys like Jadeveon Clowney or Khalil Mack or Johnny Manziel, yeah, they had their shining moments, I guess. But with Robinson, he was consistently dominant on a weekly basis. And I think based on everything that you look for in the projections, he's got the height, he's got the weight, he's got the long arms, he's got the speed, the strength. He's the complete package at the position, and literally his numbers are almost identical to Joe Thomas coming out of Wisconsin. So with that said, he is probably the one player in this year's draft that does not have a question mark. If he does have one, it's the fact that Auburn threw the ball 70% of the – or excuse me, they ran the ball 70% of the time in 2013. He didn't pass protect as much as some of these other guys did, but physically he blows everybody else away.
Certainly thought there are some drafts that have Houston taking Jadeveon Clowney, and what better start would you have on your defense with A.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on your defensive ends?
You know, it's one of those situations where obviously it's very attractive, but at the same time, who's playing quarterback for you? To me, if you're going to take Jadeveon Clowney, you have to have a plan to come up with a quarterback. Now, defensively, obviously, they've been running a 3-4 defense. They're probably going to stick in the 3-4. My question is, where are you going to play him? Is he going to be a 5 technique where you take away his explosion? No, probably not. He's going to have to play 3-4 outside linebacker. He's going to play across from Brooks Reed, and J.J. Watt's probably going to play the 5 technique. Now, if they move to a 4-man front, obviously both those guys are going to wreak havoc, and Clowney won't be relied on to be the guy, I guess you could say, because of J.J. Watt if they were to take him. Now, I still think Johnny Manziel should be the pick. I don't know if he's going to be the pick. It's obviously still a little early to know, but I still have some questions that leave me wanting a little bit more out of Jadeveon Clowney. I tweeted out yesterday, if a guy's as talented as he is, why did he only have 3 sacks this year? Is it because he was playing to get hurt? Playing not to get hurt? Is it because he's waiting for the money to come in? To me, he brings up more red flags than a lot of other players because of the off-field questions, because of, you know, the entourage, what type of his, you know, work ethic does he have off the field? If I'm taking a defensive player this year, and I have Khalil Mack right ahead of him, Khalil Mack's numbers were identical to DeMarcus Ware coming out of Troy. And with Clowney, he's physically impressive, but at the same time, he's got a lot more questions than most people think.
He's Sean Zobel, DraftHeadquarters.com, here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. So you mentioned that you think Johnny Manziel should be the pick. We're still hearing that there are 3 quarterbacks in this upper tier, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, and Teddy Bridgewater. Who intrigues you the most? What is it about Johnny Manziel that everybody he's so polarizing in this draft?
Honestly, he reminds me of Brett Favre when he's coming out of Southern Miss. He's a guy who, off the field, you never knew what was going to happen, but when he's on the field, he just made plays happen. He was the type of special talent that you can't predict, and he's got some of the best improvisational skills, you know, probably in the past 10 to 20 years. I mean, with Manziel, to me, whenever he steps on the field, you have a chance to win that game. And, no matter how much you're down by, he has the type of physical tool and talent to be able to always bring his team back. And you can't say that about any other player in this year's draft. And I think because of those special talents, if you put the right pieces around him, he's going to have one heck of an NFL career. Now, if he goes to the wrong fit, you know, let's say he goes to Jacksonville where they don't have any receivers, their offensive line is up and down, I don't know what's going to happen. But I think if he goes to a team like Houston who already has an established running game, they have two premier receivers and they have a solid defense to build around, I think he'll have them in the playoffs a year from now if he ends up in Houston. Now, it remains to be seen if he's going to be the pick, but I think he has the type of talent that can immediately just, you know, take over a franchise and really change the future for them.
All right, a lot of us around here in Minnesota with the Vikings, they have the number 8 pick. You have for a long, long time said the Vikings would be taking C.J. Mosley, the linebacker from Alabama. What about today? What has changed your mind about what the Vikings might do today?
Well, you know, you look at the top 5, 6, 7 picks, and I think, you know, things are going to shake out for themselves with who gets taken in front of them. But let's say Johnny Manziel doesn't go number 1 overall and somebody else does. Then you look further down the list. St. Louis isn't going to take a quarterback. Jacksonville's probably 50-50. Cleveland's 50-50 at number 4. I've heard Oakland at 5 is not going to take a quarterback, and obviously Atlanta isn't going to. So that leaves Tampa Bay and Minnesota. Now, is Tampa Bay going to take one after signing Josh McCown? That's probably 50-50. Right now, I think the Vikings have a decent chance of one of the top 3 quarterbacks falling to them, whether it be Manziel, Bridgewater, or Bortles. I think of the 3, Teddy Bridgewater is probably the most likely, and right now I have a gut feeling. I haven't heard anything, but it's just a gut feeling that Bridgewater is going to fall to them. They've been working him out a lot, and I think based on his up-and-down pro day, I think if there is a quarterback that's going to fall to him, it could be him. So if Teddy falls to number 8, I would absolutely scoop him up and take him. He's my 12th overall player this year. I think he'd be worth a pick. But, you know, at the same time, taking a top defensive player, you know, in a cornerback or a linebacker like C.J. Mosley, like I've said in the past, I think is attractive if you can get a quarterback in the second round. And that might be the safer play. But if you're looking to, you know, make a major move, taking a guy like Teddy Bridgewater wouldn't be a bad decision.
Out of the 3 quarterbacks, which one would be the best fit for the Vikings if they could handpick somebody for that Norv Turner offense?
Probably Blake Bortles. And I say that because Norv Turner likes the big, strong-armed, you know, prototypical NFL type of quarterback, and that's kind of what Bortles fits. Now, with Johnny Manziel, I don't know how he fits into their offense. The problem is that they've got a run-based, you know, a run-oriented offense with Adrian Peterson with limited weapons outside and a bad defense. Johnny Manziel had a bad defense at Texas A&M, but ideally you'd like to put some more pieces around him. I think Houston's a better fit because he has those 2 receivers to throw to, and Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins. Here, who knows what you have with Greg Jennings. Cordell Patterson isn't a refined or polished receiver by any means. He's a gimmick player right now. And other than Kyle Rudolph, you don't really have any established prospects for the future to build around on offense. So I don't necessarily know if Manziel's the right pick for them. I think you could take him and build your offense around him. But Bortles is probably the type of guy who you'd put behind Matt Castle, let him develop for half a year or a full year, and then go from there. Teddy Bridgewater, kind of the same type of situation. He could probably produce more immediately than Blake Bortles could, but the fact that they're playing in TCF Bank Stadium the next 2 years, it's one of those things where I wouldn't say the next 2 years are a wash, but you're not expecting them to, you know, be a Super Bowl contender in 2 years because they're a team that's going to be playing outside. So with the fact that they brought back Matt Castle, I don't think you'd expect any of these guys to produce immediately, whether it be Bridgewater, Manziel, or Bortles. So being that, you know, with the fit that they have on their offense, I think that Blake Bortles would probably be the best, you know, pick of the bunch.
And then lastly, whose stock has gone up the most? Whose stock has gone down the most in the last week with this draft?
You know, that's a good question. It depends on who you talk to, I suppose. But, you know, to me, I mentioned Greg Robinson. He's a guy who I think is absolutely through the roof. There's a receiver out of Indiana, a kid named Cody Latimer, that I absolutely love. He's a guy who declared as an underclassman as a junior, kind of under the radar, I guess. You know, when you play at Indiana in the Big Ten and you don't win a whole lot of ball games, you're not going to get talked about a lot. But He fits the mold of an NFL receiver. He's 6'2", 215 pounds, runs in the 4.4s, can jump through the roof, forward, you know, basketball background. He's a guy who could very easily be a late first, early second-round pick that most general fans have never heard of before. He's a guy that I think a lot of people are looking at behind the scenes. Guy who's probably fallen down. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's an easy one to argue because of his bad pro day. But if you look at, you know, for one guy that I've watched that I really am not very high on is Ha Quentin Dix, the safety out of Alabama. He ran poorly at the combine. His production was average at Alabama. And physically, he doesn't make as many plays as you would have preferred when, you know, roaming the back half for Alabama. I just think this year's deep class, I don't think he's worth the type of top 15 pick that a lot of other people do. I actually have a third-round grade on him. So, you know, I'd say Cody Latimer's a guy. Don't be surprised if he goes at the end of the first round. And I don't think Ha Quentin Dix is worth a first-round pick. So I'd say, you know, he's my guy that's dropped.
Sean, great stuff as always. Folks, go to draftheadquarters.com. What's on the website right now?
We've got about four players left here to round out the final 2014 class. By the end of the weekend, I'll have the final player rankings up for this year's class with 190 to 200 reports. And over the next few weeks, we'll be updating the mock draft seriously to try to put out the most accurate one I can.
Sean, thanks for the time, man. Great stuff. Great stuff. Great. We appreciate the time.
Thanks again for having me.
You got her. Sean Zobel, draftheadquarters.com.